coming to you live from my apartment. It's Rob Has a Podcast, and now here's the guy who would be the least popular person on the Fijian Reward as he attempted to teach the kids how to podcast. I am Rob Cesternino. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to our recap here of episode number 13 of Survivor Ghost Island, the last regular recap of the season before the long summer break. And today we're going to be talking with a Survivor great. We're going to talk with the winner of Survivor One World, Kim Spradlin, here on the podcast about everything going on here in Survivor Ghost Island. So I am very much looking forward to that. Got a Survivor Know-It-Alls last night with Stephen Fishback. Got into everything going on with the moves that didn't end up happening last night. Stephen Fishback came down very hard on Laurel. I said, hey, there's a lot of people to look at around here with what's going on. You know where to find that on the robiswebsite.com. And of course, my exit interview with Kellen is posted already. So check that out. I thought Kellen was actually really strong on the exit interview, talking about everything that went on in her game, especially post-merge, and some of the regrets that she had about her game. If you missed that one, I really do recommend that one. Not every single exit interview that we do ends up being especially informative, but I felt like that Kellen's really was. And of course, we're getting ready for our feedback show coming up this weekend with Mike Bloom, always one of my favorite shows of the year. So be on the lookout for that. Before we get to Kim, I want to take a moment and thank our sponsor for this episode of the podcast. Those are our friends over at Blue Apron. And you know about Blue Apron. Blue Apron is that number one fresh ingredient and recipe delivery service in the country. What Blue Apron always wants to do is make incredible home cooking accessible to everyone. Blue Apron delivers fresh, pre-portioned ingredients and step-by-step recipes right to your door that can be cooked in under 45 minutes. And when you cook with the ones you love, it brings you closer together because Blue Apron meals are designed to be cooked in under 45 minutes and the menu changes every week based on what's in season and is designed by Blue Apron's in-house culinary team. Now, they say in a marriage, you got to keep, you know, keep the spicing things up. And I say, maybe I'll eat the same thing every day. But no, my wife, she likes variety, and that's why Blue Apron is great, and they are flexible as well. They offer 12 new recipes each week. You can pick 2, 3, or 4 recipes based on what fits your schedule, and all of their meat is non-GMO with no added hormones. Check out some of the things that you can get right now on Blue Apron. How about a white cheddar cheeseburger with balsamic glazed onion and roasted potatoes, or salmon and spicy orange salsa with quinoa and carrot salad? If they ever offer the sea bass as well, highly recommended. So go ahead and check it out. Get your first 3 meals for free when you go to blueapron.com/Rob. That's your first 3 meals for free at blueapron.com/Rob. Blue Apron, it's a better way to cook. All right, everybody, I'm very excited to bring back this guest to the podcast. One of my favorite people to talk about Survivor, really anything with. When you listen to her, it is no wonder why she had such a cakewalk on Survivor. Here is the great winner of Survivor One World, the great Kim Spradlin.
You always outdo yourself with the intro.
I try, Kim. I try. I'm so happy when you're...
Thanks for all the compliments.
Yes, I'm so happy when you're back here with us here, the final regular week of Survivor Ghost Island. What a great guest to have here with us.
Thanks. Well, thanks for for having me back and not getting tired of me. I appreciate it.
No,
I'm flattered.
We will never get tired of you, and you will get tired of me way before I get tired of you. I guarantee that. But let's not get too bogged down. Kim, how's everything been since we last saw you in Austin back in December?
Yeah, it's been good. We're good. Things are good. The babies are good. They're getting bigger. We got chickens this weekend. And a bunny.
When you got chickens.
So we're basically farmers and we have 2 tomato plants. So we definitely are farmers. We're attempting backyard chickens.
Damn.
Because we don't have enough to take care of with 3 children under 4.
No, seriously, do you own a farm?
No, we live just live in a neighborhood, but we're just doing the whole backyard chicken fad.
That's a thing?
Yes, it's a thing. There's Facebook groups for it.
There's Facebook groups.
Don't you want to go out into your backyard in the morning and have fresh eggs?
EIEIO? Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. It's more for entertainment for the kids.
Yeah. And so your kids are amused at having chickens.
We'll put them on Craigslist by the end of the summer.
So what animals do you have? Chickens?
We have four chickens, the girls. And then we got a rabbit, a baby rabbit that the kids named Lupe, the calming rabbit.
Lupe, the calming rabbit, that is?
Lupe, the calming rabbit. It's from Ferdinand. Okay. Have you seen Ferdinand?
No, I have not seen that one.
Lupe, the calming goat.
Okay. No.
They really wanted to name it Cheddar, and I talked them into renaming the rabbit because I wanted our rabbit to have a better name than Cheddar.
Okay,
wow. I'm that kind of mom.
Yeah, you have a whole menagerie over there. And do you look at the animals and say which Survivor contestants they look like?
I feel like I have some animals for the Survivor contestants. I haven't done it backwards yet, but I really like that idea.
Yeah, that's what I want to know. I want to know which Survivor players your animals look like.
Yes. I mean, I've thought we have two fancy guppies, and I feel like one of them looks a lot like Sebastian.
Okay. All right. Well, Kim, we have a lot to talk about here with this season, which has really turned into a very top-heavy affair. And we're not talking about any of your One World castmates, Kim. We're talking about how Dominic and Wendell are running circles around everybody else, seemingly.
Yeah.
Is that how you see it as well?
That's definitely how I see it. And I kind of am, you know, coming from someone that continually gets voted one of the most boring seasons of all time.
I don't think that there was a vote on that.
Yeah, well, it's always, you know, there's always these, this is the worst season, this is the most boring season. I get now why people say that, because I think it does make it a little bit, you know, anticlimactic every week when they continue to come out on top.
Yeah.
So I get why people now are like wanting me to get voted off.
Yeah. As somebody who has gone through, you know, all of the seasons, that I do definitely think that that is a thing that we want to see exceptional gameplay.
Definitely.
But in these seasons where we have sort of exceptional players at the top, and this season we seemingly have two that have really dominated the action, it does seem like every week is a bit of a foregone conclusion, as opposed to seasons where most of the players are more evenly matched, which ends up probably making a more exciting season.
Totally. The only thing for me, like tonight, I felt like Dom and Wendell were, I mean, particularly Dom, like a little bit overconfident. And then that makes it sort of unpleasant, you know, like that makes me want to see him get his.
In what way?
I mean, maybe just the way he treated Donathan at the end at the tribal council, which I get that he's frustrated, but I just felt like that sort of made him look jerky.
Yes.
I don't know if that came, did that not come across that way to you?
Well, it depends. Which specific moment are you talking about?
And I guess Donathan was the one that said, we're not talking, but he was like, okay, that's it. You know,
yeah.
Kind of like you've crossed me and now you're done.
Yeah. He did say, I know you didn't want to, you didn't want to talk.
It was the other plan. It was the hammock plan, but I don't know. I just didn't dig that.
Yeah, you felt like that was too much in terms of coming from Dominic. Do you feel like that Wendell has been guilty of the same sin, or do you feel like that Wendell has been able to stay away from that?
I think Wendell maybe feels the same things, but I think he's a little bit cooler, and I think he keeps his calm and doesn't tend to, you know, I think he keeps it to himself, which I think is important, you know? I mean, you can think that someone's acting ridiculous, but you can't necessarily say it. I think that's something that's fascinating about being out there, you know?
Well, I want to ask you about where Dominic and Wendell are coming from, and which is sort of like playing from the front. And not every Survivor player is particularly good at that. And they seem like they have a bunch of different deals going on. Obviously, they have a deal happening with Laurel, and seemingly they have a deal with Seabass as well. And they've had other deals along the way with the other members of Navidi and plus Donathan. And so, Kim, in your season that you had, you know, a number of different deals going on with players between Chelsea and Sabrina, and then what was going on with Kat and Alicia, and they all kind of felt like that they were working with you. So how do you keep all those people happy as you are cutting numbers round after round?
God, I don't even know. I don't remember. It just seemed at the time, it just seemed like it was working. And I think it's because, and I've said this before, but I was being sincere in each one of those conversations. So I don't know if that's how they have approached it. Like, if, you know, if they are just, you know, like when they're talking to Sebastian, do they just approach that conversation like that he's their sure deal and that's how they talk to him? And he knows that you know, they have a deal with Laurel, but it's not real. And they tell Laurel the same thing. And then it's really like, who do you believe? I think that gets extra tricky when you've got two people that are doing that instead of one, you know, two people that you're managing their personalities, Dom and Wendell. And they're both having independent conversations with Sebastian and Laurel and each other. And so that seems a little more complicated and probably hard to manage to me. But that's what I did. I mean, when I was talking to Kat or Alicia, I was like, you're the one, and Sabrina and Chelsea and whomever I was talking to, I just really approached that conversation like this could have to, you know, this might have to be what I do. And so I should really be sure, you know, sell this like it's the real deal.
So you hadn't really made up your mind that you were, that was a possibility, and you treated it like the real thing. And then in that way, you're not really lying. You're
it's
just
something that you can't control. So, you know, I think if your real deal gets, you know, sidetracked somehow, you have to have another real deal.
Kim, when you came into Survivor, I was thinking about this earlier. How much of a plan did you have about what you were going to do? Or did you just come up with everything that you did on the fly?
Zero plan.
No plan.
I mean, yeah, I started to formulate a plan for sure, and started to have thoughts and always had multiple options, but I really had no, you know, pre-existing idea of what I was going to do. Mm-hmm. I was just hoping not to embarrass myself.
Yeah. Did you have somebody that you came in that you wanted to model your game after?
I definitely had players that I really liked and respected. Like, I adored Stephanie LaGrossa and thought she was so cool. And Elizabeth Hasselbeck. And I think, like, people that were more serious and kind of intense mm-hmm. and competitive and, like, probably a little more like Chelsea personality wise, like really were trying to do the right thing.
Your Chelsea or this Chelsea?
Not my Chelsea. Mm-hmm. Not this Chelsea.
Yeah.
You know, like a straight shooter type personality, which I think I grew up around that. And that's what I've been told is the right way to be. And I think I definitely came across more sneaky and malicious than I intended to.
Mm-hmm. I want to ask you about Kellen, because she is somebody who I think a lot of people thought might have a similar trajectory to you. And it felt like that was a very real possibility in the preseason and in the pre-merge.
But totally. I thought she was going to win for a long time.
Yeah. It just fell apart for her after the merge. And I think that mm-hmm. if you were sort of like looking at this way, if you were going to like sort of like paint people for, you know, who is who, I think that she kind of ends up, is she like the bizarro Troyzan here in this scenario where she kind of felt like that she was going to be stuck with Dominic and Wendell? She had a thing with them and then it didn't work out.
I never thought about her as the bizarro Troyzan. I feel like maybe she was never in the driver's seat, because I feel like she had every, you know, all the qualities she needed to pull it off. It just didn't seem like she was in enough of a power position. You know, it seemed like she was having the right conversation. She just wasn't able to make any of those things actually happen that she wanted to do. Nobody jumped on board her ship.
Kim, because it just seemed like to me that Kellen came into the merge and she was in this really great scenario where she could have gone with Navidi, but then she also had people like Michael and then like the bottom feeders from Navidi that she could have picked up and spun the whole thing around against Dominic and Wendell if she wanted to, especially after Dominic voted out Bradley. We never really got to see her reaction to that, and that was sort of her closest ally in the game that Dominic had already turned on. And it just seemed like that she was very ready to get back into the Dominic and Wendell game and just vote out all the Malolo people.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just wonder, it seemed like, I feel like that may have been one of Kellen's mistakes, you know, is just how she approached right after the merge. And I feel like she focused on getting the wrong people out maybe too early instead of really solidifying her relationships. So she had some strings to pull.
Did you feel like that there was one point in particular that was the point of no return for her in her game?
I can't think of anything. I'm honestly, it's a little foggy for me mm-hmm. post, like right after the merge. I feel like I got a little like, I mean, I don't want to say bored, but I found myself having a hard time focusing.
Yeah.
There were a couple of episodes in there where I was like, meh. You know, and that's what it's been a long time since I've felt that way.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if it's me or if it's this season, but I want to hear it. You tell me your thoughts.
Yeah.
And maybe it'll jog my memory.
Well, to me, I think that she ended up peaking too soon in the game because she ended up coming into the merge and she ended up winning that first immunity after the merge. And she just had all of these different pieces that she could have picked up along the way. And I just really feel like at the time where, you know, there was the whole Desiree moment where Desiree wanted to come after her, I feel like that she did a bad job with making her closest people feel like that they were going to the end with her. And Desiree felt like that she couldn't even beat her, so she was turning against her. And then she ends up voting against Desiree. She goes to that split tribal council, and then she ends up voting out Michael, who was somebody who she might have been able to have a relationship with, and then ultimately votes against Chelsea, Chelsea goes home in another tribal council where one of her people go home. So I just feel like that the game slipped out of her hands.
Agreed. It seems like she just made a couple of wrong choices, but I agree. I thought she was doing so well and was set up to really make some big moves. It just seemed, even with the Michael thing, didn't she get really fixated on voting him out?
Yeah, to the point where I just feel like coming into the merge that was somebody
to her detriment, maybe. Like that probably wasn't the thing that she needed to be focused on.
It seemed like that he was willing to work with her. She kept him safe in the pre-merge for the James vote.
Right.
Yeah. And then ultimately that he was somebody that she wanted to see go out of the game, or she just wanted to see all the Malolo people go out. And I think then she wanted to pick up the bottom, the VD people, and then turn against Dominic and Wendell. And she was really blind to the fact that Laurel and Donathan ended up working together with Dominic and Wendell.
That's right. I think too, I mean, this makes sense. And just even as I'm hearing you replay that, I think she and Michael and perhaps Wendell seem to be the clear kind of like socially dynamic people that people are really drawn to that I can think of. And maybe I'm leaving someone out, but maybe that's what that was. You know, I mean, like maybe she was just fixated on the fact that he was one of the people that was as charismatic and likable as she was. You know, I just think I feel like she didn't get her ducks in a row before she worried about that.
Kim, really, her calling card in the game was that she was going to play by her gut. And she talked about that all through the game from the beginning of the season. I'm going to, you know, trust my gut. My gut's going to tell me what to do. And it was working for her up to a point. And then her gut just started giving her lots of bad advice. And she, is there a point where, and maybe this never happened to you, where you trust your gut and your gut was wrong? Can you go back to that?
No. And I definitely am someone that I think I make decisions based off of how I feel, you know, gut feeling, whatever you want to call it, however you feel led. But I think I played more with my head, interestingly enough, and tried to ignore how I was feeling at times and tried to be really thoughtful, because I do think you just become such a mess out there. I don't know if you feel that way, but I think back and I was in total turmoil most of the time. And so I don't think you feel and think as clearly as you think you would, you know, once you're out there.
Yeah.
It's like poker. I mean, you have no idea what hands the other people are holding. And so you're just trying to guess if you know, where you're at.
Do you play poker, Kim?
Okay, so I don't, but I'm learning how to play poker because I'm about to play on CBS. I think it's on CBS. Poker Tonight with Tyson and Boston Rob and Jeremy.
No, I didn't even know what this is.
On a poker game on TV. And so I've been watching the World Series of Poker on TV to try to learn how to play. I haven't yet played, but this is coming up in like a couple of weeks.
Okay. And you are going to be in some sort of a celebrity poker tournament.
Poker game.
Okay.
Yes.
This is exciting.
It could be. It could be really embarrassing.
Yeah.
Because I think they all play poker. So I'm trying to.
Yeah, I don't know if Jeremy does.
And hopefully. Okay, I hope not.
Yeah, Tyson and Rob definitely
maybe
do.
Maybe at least I can beat Jeremy.
Maybe. Maybe. Yeah, I don't
know. Worst case scenario.
Jeremy might play like on the DL. I've just never heard anything about Jeremy playing poker before.
Okay, that's good to know.
Yeah, so maybe if
you're starting to feel a whole lot better.
Yeah, because I saw you say on Twitter that you were watching
this is gonna be awesome.
The 2010 World Series of Poker. I was like, boy, Kim is so funny. She's being so, such a funny joke that Kim just said.
It's a real thing that I've been doing, staying up until 11 o'clock. I just need to play now. Now I've seen enough. I think I can try my hand at it.
Yeah.
Kim, pun intended.
Talk to me some more about Kellen in terms of that. If she was to play again, do you feel like that she got whatever she needed out of this game? And you feel like that she could be especially dangerous on a second time out?
Maybe. I mean, she strikes me as that kind of a person. I feel like she's really socially dynamic and she seems super smart and like she really understands the game.
Mm-hmm.
It's so interesting to me to watch people on TV and then now get the luxury of meeting them in person and seeing sometimes people that seem like they really get it on the show. I meet in person. And I'm like, interesting. Like, I didn't feel like that was like a great connection or like a great conversation. And then sometimes people that I didn't feel that way about on the show, I meet and I'm like, wow, you're so sharp. Mm-hmm. So I think that's, you know, I don't know, but she strikes me as someone that I could sit down and have an amazing conversation with and could be super dominating at the game.
Kim, coming into the game, that one of the things that Kellen told us very early on was that she had recently been married and then was able to, she trusted her gut and she was able to tell that she was in some sort of a situation that was not good. And she had the courage to get out of it. And you, if memory serves me, also were someone who came into Survivor who had recently gone through a divorce.
Yeah.
And at the time,
very recently.
At the time that you were also designing bridal gowns, which was one of the reasons why this stands out in my mind. I remember talking about this is like the plot of a movie.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I think her and Kaplan had some choice jokes, I remember.
We don't remember those. And so.
Yeah, no, I totally identified with the. Okay, so yeah, when Kellen was telling the story, I was thinking it was so crazy because this is almost exactly word for word. And even it sounds like a similar situation. I had to walk through this really hard thing and it took a lot of strength and a lot of courage. And my divorce was final maybe like a month before I went on the show. So I was definitely identifying with Kellen on that one.
Yeah.
And rooting for her somewhat because I think that is so hard, mm-hmm. you know, especially at a young age. I don't know how old she is, but I was 28 at the time and I had no friends that had been through a divorce and felt definitely like the Scarlet A down here in Texas. So.
Yeah. And is that an experience that in some way is good prep for a survivor, like somebody who's coming out of a breakup?
For me, it was everything, I think. I think it's partially, I mean, I attribute my win a lot to what I had just been through because I think when you have to go through something so hard, it clears away all the crap, you know? And I just feel like I had this clarity that I had not had, if ever, in a really long time about what mattered and who I was and just all the drama was very quiet in my mind. And so I feel like I was able to play really clearly and see people really clearly and their stuff. And I don't know, I think that was a big part of why it went so well for me. It's one of the reasons I don't want to play again because I know I'm not at that level mm-hmm. of clarity in my life right now with yeah. everybody screaming at me all the time. So anyway, yeah, I think that for me, I mean, I guess it depends on how you choose to deal. But for me, that was a life changing in a good way. You know, gave me some depth that I didn't have before.
But Kim, look, if you want to get back in that headspace, we've got some bad news, Brian. Sorry.
I know. Sorry, Brian.
It's not you. It's me. I have to, get back in survivor mindset.
I don't think I'd be so lucky the third time. I don't know how many people are looking for for the mother of yeah. three dragons.
So, all right. One of the things that Stephen and I were, you know, really getting into on the Know-It-Alls last night was talking about everything with Laurel and the decision that she's mm-hmm. in or the predicament that she's in terms of a little bit of a damned if you do, damned if you don't. Have you had any thoughts about this spot that Laurel finds herself in?
Yeah. And it maybe clearly I'm not thinking it through as well as you and Stephen. I know that without, but I kind of don't really get the damned if you don't. I feel like she should just do it. I mean, I feel like she has a much better shot at being the outstanding player sitting there at the end with Angela and Donathan and maybe even Kellen, you know, I mean,
mm-hmm.
and Seabass for sure. And I feel like she's pretty damned if she stays and sits in this. I mean, I think she's the Sabrina, you know, I think
if she doesn't do anything, I don't really know, unless she just is more likable and people adore her in a way that we can't see right now. I don't feel like she has a shot against Wendell and Dom. Yeah.
Why did people really kill Sabrina? Because, oh, how could you go to the end with Kim and Chelsea? And she was the one that had the most opportunities to flip and go in a different direction.
I think that was some of it. And I also just think in reality, she wasn't, you know, I think the hard thing with Sabrina is like, Sabrina is so well liked as like a speaker to a group. Like, she's so charismatic. She has great stories. She's really fun. But I don't know that she had those one-on-one connections and relationships that she needed to like make that happen for her at the end, you know. And there was the whole, she wasn't helpful around camp and kind of lounged around, and that drove everybody crazy. So I think she had that working against her too. And that had been going on from the very beginning.
Yeah.
But I think she is a person, like, had she flipped and gone to the end with Christina and Alicia or some version of that, I think she definitely would have won.
Mm-hmm. Can I just throw a question out? Devil's advocate. Okay.
Yeah.
So Dominic and Wendell, one of them is going to win. One of them is going to lose. Does the person who loses this game, one of the, whatever guy doesn't win if they go to the end for going to the end with the other one?
I think that's one of those things that's so easy in hindsight. And I'm sure different seasons have, the person that wins, like the way it all shakes out in the end is not how anyone on the island felt it was going to go. I don't even know if this is making sense, but in my head it does. So like, I thought Chelsea, you know, had a really good shot of beating me, but I was sort of like weighing the odds and I was like, well, I think she's the, you know, this is my best option. You know, I thought she was the most popular one. And so I just think, depending on how it ends, that's a hindsight is 50-50 thing. Mm-hmm. Is it 50-50 or 20-20?
Hindsight is 20-20, usually.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, we got
it. So I think that's really an easy thing to criticize, but when you're out there, you run it every single way. Mm-hmm. And like, Dom may think he's clearly going to beat Wendell, and then Wendell might beat him or vice versa. And so I think that's just a real easy thing to critique after it's all said and done.
Yeah. So for Laurel, where do you think was the point, if it's happened already, that you think she should have zigged when she zagged?
I mean, I think any of the last two votes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I feel like she could have done it tonight. I feel like she could have done it last week. And she may can do it next week, but I just think she's kind of, she's very close to missing that window.
Yeah.
If it has not already been missed.
I
feel like she's doing the thing that makes her feel safest right now. And I don't know that's the smartest thing. That's, I guess.
Yeah.
I think she feels more secure staying with Dom and Wendell because they're in control. And I feel like she's scared to cross them and be the boot, you know?
It's really a difficult thing. And I feel like that she has become sort of the avatar for what everybody is frustrated with about this season of, come on, Laurel, how come you are the one that hasn't made the move? But I just feel like, and the reason why I haven't been killing her is I feel like that of everybody else that's out there, I think that she's the one. Okay, at least I see that she feels like, okay, I can go to the final three with them. And even though she knows it's the longest of long shots, at least there's some safety there, where I feel like that all of these other players are not even going
to get. I know that they probably aren't even going to the final three and they're still not doing it.
They're not even
going to
get that close. And they could have also made a move. At least like she's being shown something where that what's frustrated me tonight was that why didn't Seabass and Kellen and Angela vote with Donathan?
Right. Totally. I think you kind of want to like start tasing people.
Yeah.
But it makes, you know, I mean, I guess it makes me wonder if maybe Dom and Wendell are not doing a really fabulous job of lying to people and they're not showing that. Or, you know, does Seabass and Angela and, you know, do they all feel like they are the final three as well?
Oh, how?
Or
of
is
what?
There another plan? Or I guess with, well, exactly. But maybe individually, like, does Seabass think it's him, Dom, and Wendell, mm-hmm. and Laurel thinks that, mm-hmm. and clearly Donathan, you know, decided that wasn't happening for him, which that was just very entertaining, at least, to see. I loved when they were doing the bag exchange, and he was like, what was that?
Mm-hmm.
And then they acted like that was ridiculous. I'm like, that's a very reasonable question on Survivor.
Yeah.
If people are being sneaky and, you know, it's just the three of you and you're supposed to all be in an alliance together.
Kim, were you surprised that that didn't turn into a bigger deal? Because I feel like those guys did not have a great cover story.
Right. Even as they were explaining it in tribal council, I was like, yeah, it's weird. Mm-hmm. It sounds really weird. And everyone's just kind of like, yeah, we don't want to cross you, you know, nodding and smiling.
I just feel like that in modern day Survivor, I feel like that I can't believe somebody didn't say, excuse me, what was it?
Go ahead. We do want to know.
What did you give him? Like, what is this a thing?
Weird.
I can't give my friend a thing.
It's almost like they're being polite. Yeah.
Okay, I don't want to piss off Dominic and Wendell because then it could be me. But I really feel like that we are, you know, at that point in time where, you know, look, I get it. You know, the Seabass probably feels good with those guys also. But I feel like that Laurel, at least I think, will be the one they will pick to go to the end. I don't think that Seabass will be.
Yeah, and like, does Seabass think he has a shot at winning with them?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, do you think he does, or do you think he just wants to go to the end? Or
I don't think he does, but I think that he might feel like, okay, well, maybe everybody is going to be mad at those guys, and maybe Chris Noble likes me, and Jenna likes me, and Libby likes me. And,
yeah, he's talked himself into it.
Right, where he just feels like, hey, I didn't piss anybody
and
off.
Maybe he will win.
And right.
Stranger things have happened.
Yeah, because I think if memory serves me, I think he like loves Ozzy Seabass. So I think he just feels like he wants to just get to the end and say, okay, he didn't really win anything.
I was a good swimmer.
Yeah, I was a good swimmer and I caught a lobster and Laffy Taffy. Yeah.
And look at my hair. It's braided and I'm super.
Right.
I'm a pirate.
And he's a pirate. So maybe that's what he ends up feeling good about. Kim, I want to ask you about that immunity challenge that we saw tonight where it was Wendell finished first, and then it was actually then Laurel that was awarded immunity because she called for Jeff. Did you know that that was a thing?
Yes.
You knew.
Did I know that you were supposed to call it out?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Did you?
I mean, I don't know if it's ever been said.
Yeah. Does he say that? Doesn't he say, and call it out?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It sounded real familiar when he said it. I thought I've heard those words before.
You've heard it before that you have to call it.
Is that just precedence? I mean,
Is that like the bingo rules?
I did feel bad for him.
Yeah. Where if you have bingo, that it doesn't matter, but you have to be the first person to yell it out.
Yeah. But you're right. I mean, has that ever been clearly, I mean, is that in the rule book?
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, is that really a precedent for it? Yeah. How do you think that Wendell handled that? Do you think that he should have fought tooth and nail to get that necklace? Or did you like how he let Laurel have it?
I don't know. It was weird. I don't know. I mean, I look back and I'm like, I don't know how that would have looked.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, can you do that? I guess you can say, hey, Jeff, I don't know. That seems weird.
Yeah.
Is there a rule book? Did I sign something saying, I mean, you didn't clearly communicate that. I mean, I think that would have made it more interesting. It seemed, I mean, if you would have really argued the call,
right?
Okay, well, I wish I'd said it.
Yeah. Yeah. I just felt like that it was another thing that they did to, you know, really butter up Laurel to make her feel like that. Okay. I can trust these guys that, you know,
that
Wendell,
they let her have it,
that Wendell let her have it. Whereas if it was Kellen, I don't think he lets her have it. Or at least puts up a fight. Yeah.
Interesting. I felt like it was more just like a shock thing when I was watching him. I felt like he was just tired and kind of shocked that had just happened. And he just didn't want to argue with Jeff. So that's interesting to me that you think he did it because it was Laurel.
Yeah. It's a good question to ask. And who knows if we get the true answer now, you know, so many months after the fact. But I really feel like that he let it go because he felt like, okay, well, this will be, you know, this is my ally. This will be good for Laurel if she has that. You know, worst case scenario is I have the immunity idol in my bag and maybe I can play it if I ultimately need it.
Well, then that's more impressive if that's why he did it.
Yeah. So who knows? You know, that he might say, no, you know, yeah, that no, he might say, hey, I threw a fit about it for 45 minutes and then production told me that I had to let it go.
That's what I'm wondering. So. I know. I always wonder, like, what really happened there.
So who knows? Maybe one day we'll get the answer on
the truth.
Yeah, we'll get the answer on all of that stuff.
I can't wait. Seriously, now you've got me curious.
Now, Kim, you took an idol deep into the game. What did you do with your idol?
I gave my idol to Troy. He sold it on eBay.
No, I mean in the game.
The guy that I was like, I know I've told this story
you brought it to the final five.
Oh, I buried it in the woods. Is that what you're talking about?
So no, I want to know that. Did you, because you didn't end up playing it on yourself, right?
No, I never played it.
Yeah.
And no one ever knew I had it except for Chelsea.
Nobody ever knew that you had it. So it was, you didn't use it as a deterrent to sort of like let other people know, hey, maybe I have it. What were you worried about if people would have known that you had the idol?
Sorry, it took me so long to figure out what you meant by that.
I wasn't so interested. Is that why it's not on Ghost Island?
Sorry, say the question again. No, I can't remember. So
Dominic and Wendell both have these idols, and they have shown people along the way that, hey, I have an idol, and they don't necessarily mind the perception of them having an idol, and they sort of use it as a deterrent. You obviously did not want people to know. Were you?
Yeah.
Even at the final five, at that point, where like, why not play it at five?
I didn't need to, and I knew I didn't need to. So I felt okay. So here's the difference. This is I think Wendell and Dom are very out there. Like, they picked each other for the reward challenge, and I thought that was interesting. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, to me, it would not be worth going on a reward to pick this alliance person that I'm so strong. We have this like really strong front that's sort of intimidating. Like, I would start to get worried that people would try to undermine that. So I was always trying to downplay my power in the game. So I thought me having an idol would make people more concerned about me, whereas I was trying to play under the radar. So I feel like they're doing the opposite of that. I feel like they're all show and pomp, and they're loud, and they're clearly leading, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I didn't want to use it. I mean, even to the final tribal council, I didn't want them to know I had it, because I thought, just again, that was just another thing that made me look like I was trying to be, look at me, you know?
That's interesting. Do you feel like that the game has changed even from when you played in Survivor 24 to the point where now I think somebody, if they had an idol, I think they would definitely talk about it at the final tribal council.
That would
where
be another you, notch in their belt.
Right, you won four immunities, but I feel like that if you played now, I think you'd want to say, I found that I, you know, won four immunities. I found an idol. I think you would, I think that would be something that you would talk about, and not necessarily something that you would hide from the other players, especially when you got down to the end.
I guess I couldn't even, like, I remember thinking about it, and I couldn't even imagine how my voice would sound saying something like that, and what my face would look like when I told them that I had this idol. So it just seemed silly, but yes, I agree. I think it is, I mean, clearly ever evolving. And more so in the strategic realm. I just think it seems like it just gets more and more that way every season.
Mm-hmm.
But different. I don't know. This one's different. This one feels a little bit like my cast to me.
Yes.
Like, the level of play feels comparable.
Yes. Is that a good thing or a bad thing for these guys?
I think it's going to be a good thing.
Oh, for the entire cast?
You mean for Dom and Wendell?
Oh, it's a good thing for Dom and Wendell.
Well, no, because I'm hoping they'll be the most boring season, and then we'll get bumped up.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what the ratings are like. I don't even know what people think of this season, but I just think it might be good for Dom and Wendell at the end, because I feel like I don't feel like this is the kind of season where there's a lot of people that are just going to pull out all the stops. You know, I feel like everybody's playing pretty safe, kind of hoping they get to the end.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I remember in my season, when Jeff doled out the money for the auction, everyone at the auction was like, that's a lot of money. I'm going to keep my money and buy stuff when I get home. And I was like, what? What are you talking about?
Tarzan was going to fix his brakes.
And they did. They were worried about keeping their money. And I just remember thinking that was so interesting.
Yeah. And you cleaned up at the auction, literally.
Yeah. But I mean, I just think that's, you know, when you think of Survivor, that's like, that's the opposite of what you think of, right?
Mm-hmm. So you're saying that people were
saving their money for new Nike Freeze on the way home at the airport.
Yeah, that they weren't really there for the 39 day. Right.
Right.
So
sorry, that was a roundabout way of saying that.
Yeah. Well, look, roundabout is fair trade. Okay. Let's bring in some of these questions that I have for you from the listeners. Brendan Fitzpatrick wants to know, did you see any comparison to you and Chelsea in the Dom and Wendell pair?
No, I don't think so. I feel like they've just played so differently. I feel like Chelsea and I were always trying to be subtle, and our connection was more personal and less about the game, you know, or at least we sure wanted it to appear that way. We spent very little time talking to each other, and a lot of time, well, particularly me, trying to talk to other people and make everybody else feel equally included and all that.
Mm-hmm. And you feel like the two guys have done a bad job with that?
I think in a different season, yes. I mean, I think in this season, I can't say it's been bad because it seems like it's working for them. But I think there's a lot of other seasons where there's been players that probably wouldn't have lasted being so overt with their power alliance, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that? I mean, do you feel like they're out with it and it's like a little much or nah?
Right. You know, I feel like that you were able to do a better job of, you know, concealing, you know, who you were with and what your intentions are, where it seems to us at home that these guys are more blatant about what they are planning to do. But at the same time, that the results, I think, maybe also not kind of speak for themselves, where that the other players, you know, it tends to be like there's one person a week that identifies, hey, can't everybody see what's happening here? And then that person gets voted out.
True.
So
true. Maybe it's not as overt as it seems.
Yeah. It's in the eye of the beholder, Kim, I think.
Okay.
Well. Philip has a question for you. Philip wants to know, Kim, you were the mastermind of the greatest girls alliance of all time. Please ask Kim if she thinks that we will ever see another great one. Kellen tried to put one together recently in this season. It never seems to work out. Maybe it just takes a powerhouse player like a Kim or a Parvati to make it work. Kim, do you think that we will ever see another really strong female alliance come together on Survivor? And what are
sure we will.
We will, but it's for all of the talk about it, it hasn't happened too much in 36 True. Seasons of the show.
I feel like every season I'm like, oh, they're about to do it. Mm-hmm. You know, like you can see it coming and then they don't do it.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's probably when it actually makes sense and serves the players. I mean, that's it for me. It had nothing to do with that they were girls. It just that happened to be the easy, large alliance to pull together with the right, you know, personalities and all that. So mm-hmm. I'm sure it'll happen. It's just a matter of time.
Mm-hmm.
I like less girl alliances because it makes it seem cooler
that you guys were able,
you know,
to do
longer,
it
longer. No one else does it. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. So
we're always doing them. It'd be like, oh, another girls alliance.
This is a question from Cody, who wants to know, it's been discussed how much Wendell and Dominic are seen as a very dominant pair. Kim, as someone who won over a jury, what could each of these guys be doing other than voting the other one off to set themselves up to win against the other in a jury vote this late in the game? This is something that Steven and I have been talking about for a couple of weeks on the podcast of it's very neck and neck. Some people can't even make a call. Some people couldn't even decide which mm-hmm. one if they had to. Do you see any things that either of them could do that would give each other the edge when it comes down to getting this jury settled?
I personally think it's all about how they're acting and interacting with the people at camp at this very moment that we're watching in the game. And I feel like I do see Dom, I feel like, being a little bit more cocky and unpleasant
mm-hmm.
just from what I can see than Wendell. And so I think when they both sit there at the end, I feel like their resume is pretty equal. And I think ultimately the people on the jury are going to vote for the person that they like better.
Yeah, no, I agree wholeheartedly with that. You know, I even feel like that Dominic's resume is better than Wendell's. I think
maybe
that
better,
he has won more challenges. I think that he has probably been seen more of the architect of what's going on. But when it comes down to these personal relationships, I think that Wendell has done mm-hmm. a better job, where I think that Dominic provokes a little bit more or asks more probing questions.
Totally.
I think that Wendell, like, it's take for instance that conversation that Donathan had in the shelter, where Donathan said, hey, you know, I am going to, you know, I don't feel like I'm part of this. And, you know, I'm going to vote for Dominic at the end. Wendell's response to him was really good. I thought he said to him, like, well, then I guess Dominic's going to have a reason to put you on the jury. He didn't say, then I guess I'm going to vote you out, or I guess I'm going to like come after you. He said, well, I guess Dominic is going to come after you.
Yeah, totally. I just feel like he's doing a better job of, it strikes me as you watch him in conversation, I feel like he's doing a better job of all that. And I do think especially when they've clearly kicked everyone's ass, right? So I think it's one thing when you're trying to build a resume and say, I did this. I feel like these guys clearly did that. It's really going to come down to likability at the end.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because of that. It's not like they have to prove that they beat everyone. They very soundly beat everyone if they sit there at the end.
Now, is there anything that Dominic could say at the final tribal council format that would end up swinging it back in his favor?
I mean, I guess the only thing I can imagine is if he just sat there like, loathes all of you and he's just been talking so poorly about you all the whole time, and he said that he was going to be cool and try to be your friend, really.
So you think that
person, and they, you know, and somehow if he somehow,
do you think that'll happen?
No, but, I mean, I'm just trying to think.
Well, I think that you're a great person to ask this stuff to, because you're somebody who, I think what's really remarkable about you, Kim, is that not only did you play a really exceptional game and you racked up a lot of jury votes, I believe it was 7 by my recollection?
7.
And
true.
But you came away from your season where just about everybody really liked you after the fact. And even the people that didn't like you after the fact certainly ended up coming around, right?
Yeah.
So,
and I like them.
And so you didn't have, and you're tight with the other people that were in the final three. You didn't have to bury Chelsea and Sabrina to ultimately win the game. And it's a very hard thing to do. So not only to play good enough where you're seen as the person who is the rightful winner of the season, but also that you didn't have to destroy the people that helped get you there to the end.
Yeah. One, and I mean, I don't know that ever is going to look good for you to sit there and badmouth the people that I don't think people like that. So I just think if he could somehow undermine Wendell to the jury with that, and still come across as being humble and not a jackass.
See, I like that in the finals when somebody really, rips into the other person.
I do. I think as long as they're I do too. But I'm talking about like character stuff, you know, not like, I love it when people go at it and they'll say the thing that everybody's thinking. I'm all for that. I'm just thinking, I feel like he has to do that in a way that makes him more likable than Wendell somehow. But
yeah.
I don't know. I feel like 90% of the time people have made up their minds.
Mm-hmm. Kim, let me bring a question. This is from Sheldon. Sheldon wants to ask you about how was Kim able to keep her original tribe together to the finale, even though there was a big swap recently? Swaps seem to break the initial tribal bond. This is because swaps are happening too early and too frequently these days. I would actually disagree with that point. I think that the tribal lines actually held together remarkably well in this season, that they were talking about Navidi strong up until last week.
For sure. And again, I mean, when we did our tribal swap, I was totally willing to swap, and it just made more sense to swap back. And so I did that because that was a better option. You know, I mean, it didn't have anything to do necessarily with allegiance. I think everybody's mostly just kind of looking to save their tail and get as far as they can. Mm-hmm. I don't think anybody really cares too much about tribal allegiance.
Mm-hmm.
If they're being honest.
Was it easier for you because the tribal lines were gender lines?
Maybe. It's so hard to know because it's just all I do know. I mean, I don't think so though, but maybe that's naive of me to say that.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think we were weaker in a lot of ways, like physically we really struggled. And so I think there was a lot of bonding that happened because of that. So, you know, I mean, maybe it was that we were, you know, a weaker tribe, not because we were female, but we just happened to be, you know. I mean, we didn't have fire. They did. They were winning. We weren't for a long time, and we really sucked. And so I think we really had to bond together over being so sucky.
Mm-hmm. Sheldon also wanted to know from you, Kim, what animals do the final six look like? Have you given that any thought?
Okay. A couple. Yes. Just tonight while I was watching. I got Emperor Penguin.
He's an emperor penguin. Is that a type of penguin, or is it?
It's a type of penguin that has that kind of a hairdo that he wears. Kellen was a crane, I think.
Yes.
I went between crane and mouse, and I just settled on crane. I feel like Sebastian is something, and this could be because I'm building a chicken coop and getting chickens, but he looks like something that would eat chickens. Like,
would eat chicken, like a mongoose?
I don't want to say weasel, because yeah. I feel like that's such an unfavorable critter. So I was trying to think of another kind of animal that's similar to that, but different, but I didn't have time to look it up. Mm-hmm. So sorry, sea bass. We'll go with weasel.
Yeah.
But kind of like in the meerkat family, you know, mm-hmm. something that stands up, you know.
Right.
Who else is left? Wendell, I think, is a lion.
Lion.
That might be because of his hair, mm-hmm. but he kind of has a lion-y look.
Okay.
Who else is there? Laurel. Oh, I think Laurel's like an insect, like a butterfly or something. I feel like if you zoomed in on a butterfly's face, it would be okay. Laurel.
Angela.
I didn't have anything. I kept thinking of gummy bear, but that's not a real animal.
A gummy bear.
And so I don't know, just a bear, like a little, she's like a little bear, but not the bear thing.
Yeah.
Different kind of bear.
I think she inherited the Chelsea edit after last week. I mean, you would think that.
Yeah, interesting. Like, I thought that too.
We're down to seven.
I'm curious to meet her in person and see what she's really like. but yeah, totally.
She had that one episode where she, ate the sea slug. And then outside of that, like she's
been.
That
was insane. We still talk about that. Yeah. Whoa. Whoa. That blew my mind. Mm-hmm. It's unbelievable.
Ethan L. has a question for you. Rob, why are you so convinced that Laurel is going to be the third in the final three with Dominic and Wendell? I think it's going to be Seabass. I think the reason why they picked Laurel to go on the reward is because she had gone to Ghost Island. She would have gotten ammo to go against them. Whereas if Seabass is for sure on their side and he wouldn't play an advantage mm-hmm. against them, who do you think is more likely to be the person that Dominic and Wendell are going to the end with?
I think it's presuming. Laurel, but I don't know why.
You think it's going to be Laurel, right?
That they're going. I think Laurel. Yeah. And I feel like they've put more effort for it. And again, maybe that's just what Survivor is showing us. But I feel like, you know, Laurel is a buzzword between Wendell and Dom, whereas I just haven't seen a lot of interaction between Sebastian and them.
Yeah. I mean, and it's very possible they go to maybe the four with them, and that maybe what happened was that Donathan ended up, you know, losing his spot in the four, and maybe Seabass is like weaseling his way in there. See what I did? And, you know, and now we have this fire making challenge. And now it's like, who knows? Kim, do you think that this makes Dominic and Wendell's life easier or harder that we have this fire making challenge that's going to come up again at four?
What is it?
Well, like last season, Kim.
About this?
Did you watch last season when they got down to four and they had to make a fire?
I remember now. I totally remember. Yeah,
they're doing that again. They're doing that again.
Was that Ben?
Yes.
Was that Ben that did that?
Yes.
Yeah. Remember. Okay. Does it make it easy? Well, it makes it harder, right? Yeah. I mean, I think this is clearly the thing you want if you're the underdog and don't want if you're on top of the game and just want everything to go away.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that would have been a terrible nightmare to me.
Why? What would have happened? You would have won immunity.
I don't know. I was trying to remember who it would have been.
Right? You won immunity at Final Four, and then you would have taken, what, Chelsea to the end, and then it would have been, what, Sabrina and Alicia?
Christina.
Christina. Because Sabrina and Christina make a fire. Then, whatever. No, nothing
that
changes.
That would have been a long, long fire building challenge.
Yeah.
That would have taken a long time.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you're right. It wouldn't have mattered.
No, it wouldn't have mattered. And so are you really against that twist, or do you you don't have an issue with it?
I guess maybe now that it's established. Is it established? Or are they saying we're always going to do this from now on?
Well, they said they're doing it for the season. I don't know what they're thinking for seasons beyond this
one. Not knowing. I think as long as I just know, then I can plan for it. I think what bothered me about it last season is it seemed real like, whoa. But I think if they already know it's then fine, right? I mean, you just think about that when you plan for your final four.
Yeah. Kim, this is a question. This is from Corey B, who wants you to rank the following players. Kim Spradlin, Boston Rob, and Bradley Kaligi.
I'm trying to play like a Boston Rob or Kim Spradlin. You know, somebody that's got the numbers and is in control and just needs to keep the ducks in a row.
Yeah, you have ducks, right?
Not yet. Boston Rob, Bradlin, Kaligi.
So Boston Rob is one, Kim Spradlin is two, and Bradley Kaligi is three.
Yeah, but you know what? Maybe Bradley plays again, and he's the two.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do feel like that, you know, between Bradley and Kellen, I feel like that they both ended up, they had an idea, which I think was, I think that that probably in the modern Survivor is attributed to, you know, to you and Boston Rob, of just like stick to your original tribe and then vote off everybody else. And then you get to the end with your original tribe and then figure it out.
Keep your ducks in a row.
Keep your ducks in a row. Now, again,
like if you're a real alpha dog, you can really pull that off.
Right. And in fairness to you, I mean, that was not your, like, for Rob, there was never like a version of the plan, which was, okay, well, now I'm going to work with some of the people from the other tribe and then I'll go back. And then
buddy system.
Right. And where for you, it was not, you know, a straight shot that, you know, you had a swap and you can say, and you, you know, certainly weighed your options about going one way or the other, but ended up, you know, going back to your original group.
Totally. I think too, though, like if Bradley had gone on to win it, you know, that could have been, they could have put different music behind that. Mm-hmm. It would have all seemed so different.
Yes. Then people would have been talking about him and people would have said, Kim, are you the old Bradley?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
People are saying that to me.
People do say that to you. Are you the, are you basically the old Bradley?
People stop me. Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Brendan Fitzpatrick also wanted to know, are you disappointed that nothing from One World was on Ghost Island?
Nah.
Yeah. Here, I had some things that I wrote down that maybe were you disappointed they weren't there. What about Leaf's box? Should Leaf's box have been there on Ghost Island?
That was amazing. I'm like, it's Leaf's box has been here so long that now it's an actual bed.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it is matured.
It's a tiny bed and you can sleep on it.
To a giant crate and now you can sleep in it also.
That's
yeah.
I forgot about Leaf's box.
Yeah. What about Tarzan's underwear? Should that have been out on Ghost Island?
That's a really gross idea.
Yes.
I don't think so. No.
Okay.
Nobody wants to see that. That's like not for TV gross.
Yeah. We had questions. This was one that was from Caleb Daugherty, who wanted to know, did Troyzan click with your kids as a babysitter? You had Troyzan out as a babysitter?
Troy, well, he was just here to visit and we were supposed to go out and hang out and like go to lunch and stuff. So he just came over and he was awesome. Mm-hmm. And he was amazing. He was so cute with the kids. And honestly, they had the best time with him. And he was like lifting up their power wheel above his head, showing how strong he was and telling him about the monkeys and the jungle. They were riveted. It was amazing. We had a blast. He walked them to the park with me. Mm-hmm. And it was so cute. He was great.
Okay. And now I have a question here from Amy, who may be confused, who wants to know, how was Tarzan as a babysitter of your kids?
We haven't had Tarzan out yet, okay. And I don't know that he's interested in coming.
That might have just been lost in, that might be the telephone game.
Babysit.
Yeah. Have you heard from Tarzan in a year since you played?
Yeah. I mean, I went to his house one time and stayed there with Troy.
How was that?
That's been years ago. It's bizarre. Mm-hmm. Bizarre. You have to see it to believe it. He has like an alien from Aliens versus Predators, a little room in his house with lemurs. I mean, there's a Christmas room that's like covered in stuff. Can't explain it. It's unbelievable. It's been on HGTV's like Most Bizarre Homes in America.
What? Somebody find me
seriously.
The clip.
And okay, I'll try. But Troy keeps up with Tarzan. They talk a lot, like almost every week, I think.
So. Every week? Oh my God.
Yeah. So wow. A bit. And it's he quantum always entanglement. Goes and sees him. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Quantum entanglement it is.
Yes. This is a question from a different sea bass. And this sea bass said, hi, Rob and Kim. In a 2012 TV Guide interview, Kim was asked if she stays in touch with the other players. Kim said, I'm super close with Chelsea, Alicia, and Kat. I talk to them every day, if not more than once a day. Our sea bass wants to know, are you still in touch with them?
I am, but I don't talk to them every day anymore.
More than
things
once a day.
Have petered out since I had the kiddos. Mm-hmm. I'm going to see Chelsea next week. She's bought a house, and I'm going to go help her with her house. I talk to Alicia probably once a month, mm-hmm. and she's doing really well. So, yeah, I still keep up with them, and I talk to Troy as much as I do them.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
What is the reality show that Chelsea is on?
Chelsea is on Bravo's Southern Charm.
Yes. What is that?
It's kind of like Laguna Beach for 30 something, mm-hmm. but in Charleston.
Yeah.
And have you not seen it yet?
I have not seen it. We're podcast about it.
You should definitely watch it.
You love it.
Yeah. Something else to watch for you.
Yes. Savannah Campbell asked on Twitter, was Chelsea Townsend's edit dirt or poo? You said this was a good question on Twitter.
I thought it was funny. I don't even know what it means, but it just made me laugh.
Yes.
But I'm going to go with dirt.
Dirt. Okay.
I don't want to say poo.
Okay.
But then I did anyway.
Did the Chelsea from this season remind you of the Chelsea from your season in any way?
No.
No.
Physically or personality wise? Hey,
in any way.
Nah.
Okay. Lexi wants to know, who from this season is most like Kat?
Donathan.
Donathan is most like Kat. I could see it. That's a good take.
Totally. Thank you. Is that the first time you've dinged me all hour?
I can't be right.
Maybe you can go back in and edit in some bells.
We'll edit in some extra bells.
What do you call them? Bells?
Yeah, a bell. That's what. What do you call
them? I don't know. There's someone on Twitter that's Rob's buzzer.
Oh, yeah.
And so I think I get it mixed up. Then I'm like, that's buzzer. Sorry, yeah. Go ahead.
Yes. Mar Barboa wants to know, was Morgan the new you? This was something in, I don't know how closely you pay attention in the preseason, but do you remember Morgan from this season?
I don't.
Mm.
Can you tip me off?
So she was voted out. I believe it was the third tribal council of the season. Okay. And it was after the first tribe swap. And she was actually with Dominic and Wendell. And then when the Malolo people came over and Chris went to Ghost Island, then we saw that she trusted Libby, remember? And then Angela was going to, they were going to vote out Angela, basically. And the Malolo people ended up pouncing and they voted out Morgan.
What color was her hair?
She had brown hair and she wore it in a side ponytail and people.
Wait. Did she have on bright leggings?
No, that was Stephanie. Stephanie Johnson. And people said this Morgan, she could be the next Kim Spradlin. And I said, you know what? I don't think so.
She had brown hair and a side ponytail.
I said, look, don't be throwing around. This is the new Kim Spradlin. And people said it.
Yeah. I mean, maybe so. Should meet her.
Okay.
Maybe she is the new me. I hope Brian doesn't meet her.
You don't even remember her.
You know? Well, I don't, but that doesn't mean she's not memorable. I cannot remember her. I want to look her up, but I can't put the phone on speaker, so I can't Google her.
Okay. And maybe after the show.
I'll look her up afterwards and I'll be like, dang it. Yeah. It'll click once I see her.
Yeah. I'll send you pictures. It'll click, 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 click.
Clearly, I'm not very engaged this season as I'm watching.
Amanda Rabinowitz wants to know, Kim, do you think that they should give the One World twist another shot? If so, should they do another Battle of the Sexes season or try something else? A lot of people wanted to know this, that do you feel like that they should try One World again?
I felt about the One World concept how I feel about the Ghost Island concept, which is just like, meh. I could do without it. It doesn't feel necessary to me. I mean, even at the time, it just seemed kind of weird. Like, I don't remember feeling like it had. And maybe it did have a big impact on the game, and I just don't know it because I've never played it the other way. And that was just the way I played it. But
mm-hmm.
The concepts usually feel pretty irrelevant and gimmicky to me.
And then
I'm kind of just like, let's get on with the real game and stop talking about how this idol gained power.
Is that how you guys looked at it in the One World game where it was like, look, this is stupid. We're not going to partake in this because it got ugly in the beginning because Michael Jefferson stole all the stuff, right?
Yeah, he did.
And then there was a lot of animosity between the tribes.
Yeah, but even that, it felt like a community theater play to me.
What felt like a community theater play?
No, I love community theater, and I'm thinking about going out for community theater. So if anyone does community theater, that was not meant to be an insult. I tried out for community theater so many times growing up and never got a part.
So well, but what
I just wanted to be Pepper in Annie.
Kim, what felt that way about One World that it was like community theater?
It felt fake to me, the whole thing. Like it was like we were supposed to be.
It was contrived.
Yeah, thank you. Yes. It just felt irrelevant to me as well. Like it didn't feel like it was a real part of what was going on. I mean, we still separated. No one talked. And yeah, I think that that was partially because of the whole fight, you know, over the stuff. But I think that would have probably happened anyway, because there was sort of this like, you know, you didn't want to be seen talking to the other. I think that that would probably happen maybe, mm-hmm. no matter what.
Yeah.
Maybe not. Sure. Give it a whirl.
Yes.
They should do it again.
Kim, Patrick Haught wants to know, do you think Aunt Patty foresaw what was to come and really was dressed for Dominic's funeral? Even though I don't think she was dressed for a funeral like Bryce said she was. Well, Kim, first off, what did you think of Aunt Patty?
I thought she was seemed nice.
Yes.
Seemed like a nice lady.
Yes.
Did she talk a lot?
Nah, I mean, a little bit when she came out to see Donathan. And then she told Dominic that she was going to, you know, she's country if Dominic breaks the deal with Donathan. Now, this really, I felt like that Donathan sort of pulled out of the deal with Dominic. I don't know how Aunt Patty's going to react to this.
Yeah, that's a good point. This wasn't Dom's fault. I think I didn't watch this part very good.
You really check out during the family visit.
I have no recollection of this. Like I can remember her running, but I don't remember this conversation. Yeah.
Are you not interested in the family visit, Kim?
It's not my most interesting part.
That's interesting. And if I remember what your sister came out for family visit?
Yeah, I feel a little embarrassed during the family visit part. Like
why?
When I look back in hindsight that I cried and kept kissing my sister's head.
Yeah, why are you embarrassed by that?
I don't know. It just seems so awkward now when I think about it. I feel like I shouldn't have been that kiss each other in real life. So it was weird that I kept kissing her head. But I remember how I felt. And I was just being authentic. So when I see other people go through that, it kind of like reminds me of how I felt. So maybe I'm blocking it.
Yes, you just...
Maybe that's why I blocked out Aunt Patty, because she reminded me of my sister.
Okay. Kristen Cole wants to know, why didn't Donathan go through Wendell's bag? Should he have gone all in and blasted him?
No, because I don't think anybody's offering up their bag that probably has anything in there that they care about anyone seeing. But wait, Mom put the thing in his bag?
Yeah, like Dominic...
Was it in his bag or was it in his pocket or something?
Yeah, well, Wendell said, hey, I've got this fake idol. I need a bunch of stuff. And he said, okay. And then he went to go put some in his bag. And Donathan's like, hey, what are you doing over there? He's like, nothing. And he's like, oh, I thought I saw something. That's weird. And he's like, nope, I'm just giving something to my friend. That's it. Nothing weird going on. Okay,
so it was in his bag. Whatever Dom gave him to help make the idol look more legit, he did bag. So when they were offering it up to Donathan to go and look in his bag, it was in there? That's what I'm asking.
I would think so, yeah. It was in somebody's bag.
Okay. I mean, then yeah, I wish he had looked in the bag. I think that whole thing was just so awkward. And I feel like maybe at that point, I mean, maybe they edited that out. And it was very clear at that point when they finally offered that to him that he wasn't going to look, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe he offered it to him knowing that they had already... you know, drawn a line in the sand and he was pissed and wasn't going to come look through the bag. I don't know, but that was weird to me that they wouldn't tell him and then they would say, go look through the bag. I mean, why not just include him, be kind, bring him into the conversation, even if you make something up, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I just felt like that was very, you know, polarizing.
Yes.
That's not the right word.
I think that Donathan just felt like, okay, I'm getting voted out anyway. I don't know what he felt like he was going to prove, maybe.
Yeah, by looking.
Yeah, I think he's just like, okay, these guys already hate me and they want to vote me out anyway, so I'm not going to, like, I think he's just like, okay, I know what's in there. I don't need to go
look it up. I'm not going to give you,
the satisfaction.
I'm not going to give you what you want. I'm not going to, that's the word. I'm not going to give you the satisfaction by looking through your bag.
Yeah. Scott Schaefer wants to know, Kim. Kim, drop your truth bombs about Ghost Island's role this season. How do you think the theme was carried out and what could have made it better?
I don't know. I mean, the whole thing with the urns bothers me.
You don't
where
like
they
it.
Smash the urn, because I feel like they could change, they could move those. Mm-hmm. I don't know that they do, but the thought of that bothers me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, I feel like they could just very clearly say, oh, we want this person to have a shot or not. Again, don't think they would do that necessarily. But I think, you know, having played it, like the thought of anything that's sure and fair bothers me. And it just seemed weird. I don't know. The things, the relics or whatever, they like morphed, you know, they weren't what they were.
You don't like that.
Like idols and other things. I mean, I don't really care, but it just made it all seem more, a little sillier to me, you mm-hmm. know?
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, it's just, for me, it's a waste of time. There's other things I'd rather be watching.
Than what's going on Ghost Island.
Yes.
Okay.
But they did, you know what? They did a pretty decent job of keeping it pretty brief. I don't feel like we had to just watch lots and lots of it. I feel like there have been past seasons where they do Exile and stuff where it's like, it seems too drug out.
Mm-hmm. Kim, let me ask you a question from Lorenzo. This is going back to the Final Four Fire Making Challenge. Lorenzo wants to ask you, Rob and Kim, big fan of you both. I have a question regarding the Final Four Fire Making Challenge. Assuming that Dominic and Wendell can make fire better than anybody else left in the game, if you're Dominic and Wendell and you win the Final Four immunity, would it be a better move to take the other person with you? Ryan from last season said that he felt like the juries looked at him as if he was dragged to the end. Do you think that that would be a good chance to play that card and deprive your biggest rival of earning his spot in the final three? Could that be the last nudge to push you over the edge in the jury vote? One of the other things that came out of last season very much was this idea of what you do in front of the jury having more significance in over stuff that happened where they didn't see it. And fire making would be one of those things where if you won that fire making competition in front of the jury, it does feel like you've won a victory in front of the jury, and they say, right. Oh, look at that guy. Oh, that was pretty good. I like that. Especially if you don't take an hour like some of these other Survivor players have done in the past. So do you like that idea for Dominic and Wendell to drag the other person to the final three?
Oh.
On the other hand, then, you know, they could go into the fire making challenge and lose, and then you have like kind of a real straight shot at it.
Yeah. I mean, I think in a scenario where everybody feels more equally sort of equal opportunity
mm-hmm.
to win, and there's not this situation with Dom and Wendell, that makes more sense to me that this would be something that someone could do in front of the jury. I just think this is a unique situation, unique season. I mean, I can't even, kind of like you were saying with my season, if we'd had this situation, I don't know that this is going to have a huge impact, or it's hard to imagine how much impact at this point if Dom and Wendell are going, you know, mm-hmm. like I kind of feel like it doesn't necessarily matter.
Kim, let me ask you this question from Amanda Fallon. She wants to know, did Kim ever get in touch with Chris about being her baby's godfather?
No.
Which survivor would make the greatest godparents? Did you want Chris Noble to be your baby's godfather?
Here's the reason. He's apparently really good at sand volleyball.
Yes.
And my husband likes to play sand volleyball, and he used to have a partner that was his brother, but his brother doesn't want to play with him anymore because he wants to play with someone better, because now Brian has kids, and so he doesn't get to play as much, so he's not as good. Mm-hmm. So when we found that out about Chris, he was like, reach out to him, see if he'll be my partner in a tournament. So that was how I reached out to him, by seeing if he would be Walt's godfather. But nobody's contacted me about it. I haven't heard from him or anyone else with
Kim,
contact information.
I don't understand the leap here. What? So you want him to play volleyball with Brian. Why does he have to be the godfather of your baby?
I didn't want to just ask him to play volleyball. I wanted to draw
maybe he likes volleyball.
I wanted him to feel obligated to play with Brian after the dedication in the commencement of the godfather ceremony, and then it comes up at the meal afterwards, and what is he gonna say? No,
say that's,
you know what I mean,
beneficiary.
Yeah, that'd be very beneficiary
to have him be the godfather.
Yeah.
So anyway, if he's interested in either one of those things or both, I mean
Kim, this is not a good plan.
What are you talking about? I can't even believe you're saying it's not a good plan, because it sounds so good when I say it.
No, this is not a good plan. I mean, that maybe Chris Noble just wants to play volleyball. What about Laurel? She'll play volleyball.
If he doesn't want to do the Godfather part, he doesn't have to do that. That's fine. I would say if he wants to be the godfather but doesn't want to do the volleyball, we're probably not as interested in that.
Yeah. This is like some cockamamie thing that you'd hear on the Love Know-It-Alls about like a way to like an opener. Start the conversation with Chris Noble.
Well, have you talked to Chris Noble?
On the exit interview.
Cool. I haven't listened to it yet.
Okay. Well, I didn't think you were very far behind on the exit.
How was he? I mean, do you think he would be a good godfather for Walt?
I don't know. I think he would. I mean, did you watch his Ponderosa video?
No.
Well, watch that first and then see if you want to reconsider.
Oh, okay.
When is the christening?
Why? What did he do?
He just does like crazy rapping.
Oh, because of the rap thing? But I like that because I feel like we want more musical influences.
Wait,
in our
but
kids
Kim, your kids don't already
musical.
Have godparents?
No, our kids don't have godparents. That's but not like really a thing we do. So it's not a big deal.
Oh, so you don't care. It doesn't matter to you. And so
I don't want Chris to think it doesn't matter. I feel like that's not what I'm trying to say. Anyway, I feel like Chris, if you could just call me. Rob, you
is he local? Kim, this doesn't seem like a good plan at all. wouldn't it make more sense if there's somebody in the San Antonio area that plays volleyball, could you please just reach out to Kim Spradlin?
No, there's not anyone good enough here that Brian wants to play with someone really good.
Kim, you don't know how many listeners we have. We probably have,
okay, well, if there's anyone that's like,
a thousand people within
like a
driving
strong AVP volleyball score and can qualify for the AVPs without having to play in the qualifier. Brian is looking for a partner and he's pretty good.
Send your resume.
He used to be better, but he's willing to practice more if I'll let him.
Yes. Who would win in a volleyball? You or Laurel? Probably Laurel.
Yeah. Didn't she play college volleyball?
Yeah. What did you play?
Definitely Laurel. High school.
Okay.
Definitely Laurel.
Yeah.
Laurel would kill me.
John Simons wants to know, are you done making babies so we could finally put you on the all yes. winter season on the calendar?
Yes, I'm done making babies. I will say one of the main parallels for me with Survivor and having babies is that until you've done it, you don't know how horrible it is. And so it's easier to want to do it the first time when you don't know what you're getting into.
Is that the actual childbirth or actually having kids?
Yes, the birth. Okay. Yeah, the birth, not the child itself, not the raising, the birth. So then after you do it, you're like, oh, now that just sounds really horrible. And I'm just so comfortable and happy right now that it's really hard for me to imagine leaving my children and going back and doing that.
Yes. When,
but no more babies.
When Brian came out for the family visit, would you kiss him on the head over and over again?
I hope not, but probably.
No. If Brian,
you don't have control of yourself.
If
I'll probably kiss his shoulder because he's taller than me.
If Brian came out for the family visit, would he yell at you about how he has been home with the kids for 30 days?
Yes, because he gets so grumpy, even if he has to be by himself with the kids for 5 hours.
I hear it.
So grumpy. He sent me to the spa for Mother's Day, and when I came back, he was grumpy. And I was like, so now you're going to punish me for going to the spa for Mother's Day.
That was the Mother's Day gift?
Like, you're not, he was like, you're misreading me. And I was like, no, I'm really good at reading people. I want in punishing me.
Mm-hmm. Kim, a lot of people had this question for you. They wanted to know if you could pick between Laurel and Yanni.
Laurel. 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 Laurel.
What is going on?
What do you pick? What do you pick?
What are you talking about?
What did you hear? What did you hear? Did you hear Laurel or did you hear Yanni?
I heard Laurel.
Okay. Some people hear Yanni.
No, play it back.
Laurel. Laurel.
That's a lie. Nobody hears Yanni.
Yes, they do, Kim. Look it up.
What are you talking about?
You don't know what that's I'm talking impossible. About, but it's
I'm not even going to talk to you while you're doing that because I feel like that's a joke.
It's not a joke. Look it up.
It's not.
Look it up.
Okay, I'll look it up.
Okay.
I'm not going to look it up. Laurel, clear.
Okay. Kim, what
the
else?
Dress is white.
What else? The dress is white.
Oh, everybody watched the poker game.
That's when's it going to be?
The 29th of May.
Mm-hmm. The 29th of May, and it's mm-hmm. coming up. Is it going to be broadcast live?
I wish I had more information about it.
It's on the 29th of May. You think it's on CBS.
Turn on your TV. I think it's called Poker Tonight.
Yes.
I'm pretty sure.
I'll ask Tyson. I'm sure he'll have all the information.
Tyson's been on it, and I think it's on his Twitter feed.
Okay, so go to tune into Tyson's Twitter, and then you can go ahead and see what else is.
It's at 7 o'clock.
7 o'clock.
I don't know which time zone.
Which time zone? Okay.
Kim, sorry, not a good plug.
It's okay. We'll figure it out.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let me know.
Yeah. Did anybody respond to you when you said, does anybody know how to get in touch with Chris Noble?
No one.
People said Instagram account. Check his Instagram.
I can't find him. Can somebody provide his Instagram account for me?
Yeah. Kim, you're really not.
And I'll keep you updated on this, what happens, because I have a feeling that something is going to happen here.
What do you think?
I mean, I think Chris is going to be the godfather of Walt. That's my best guess. But.
Yes. Okay. Would you offer him godfather of two of your kids if that was what he held out
for? I'd rather just do Walt.
Okay.
Yeah, Kim. Walt just, I don't know. He doesn't care as much.
Yeah. You haven't tweeted a lot this year. You retweeted about this podcast. You tweeted about Chris Noble. And then you tweeted on March 22nd, when I swiped left and saw this pic, I thought you were a topless woman, Ozzy.
And is there a picture to go with it?
Yes. It's like Ozzy with his head cropped up.
It really caught me off guard.
Yeah. So
maybe I'd had a couple of glasses of wine. I don't remember.
Yeah. Okay. Well, Kim, it's always so great to catch up with you. Who's the winner of Survivor Ghost Island?
Wendell.
Wendell will win. Do you think it will be a close vote?
I do.
You think Dominic? You think Dominic will be there in the end as well, right?
Yes.
Okay.
I think he's going to get a couple of votes.
Okay. So how many? So you think that Wendell will win, and how many votes? What's your prediction?
How many votes are there going to be?
I think there's
going to
be 10.
Okay. Wendell's going to win in 6.
6 votes.
7.
7.
7. Okay. 6.
That's a
6.
6. Okay.
I'm going with 6.
All right, that's pretty good. Of course, the next time Kim tweets, you want to be there. Follow Spradlin Kim on Twitter. You also want to follow what's it called? Poker Tonight?
I think so.
Do you think so?
I think that's right. You said it. I didn't.
Tyson hasn't said poker anything tonight about this to me.
You're the one that called it Poker Tonight, if that's not it.
Okay, look for it May 29th on CBS.
It's a Tuesday.
On Tuesday.
I don't know.
This is going to be on national CBS, Kim?
I think it's the Sports Network.
Okay, CBS Sports Network. Well, that's a big difference.
Does that make more sense?
Yes. Okay, so, is it live?
I don't know. I don't know. But
so you're playing cards somewhere.
Okay. It's in LA. We're going to be in LA.
Okay.
I don't know if I'm supposed to be telling any of this. Okay. I don't know what's going
on. All right. Well, look, I won't repeat it.
Okay, good.
Okay. All right. Well, Kim, always a treat to catch up with you, and all the best to you, and Brian, and the family, and the chickens, and the goat, and
one big happy family.
Okay. You take care. Okay.
Thanks, Rob. You too. Thanks for having me on.
Anytime. Everybody, there you have it. Kim Spradlin back here on a podcast. Always a thrill to check in with Kim. And who knows, maybe we will be able to track down Chris Noble and get him to be the godfather of one of Kim's children. So who knows? We'll see. We'll see. Happening all next week at the Survivor finale. Of course, I'm going to start getting ready for the feedback show coming up with Mike Bloom this weekend. We're recording that on Saturday morning. So if you're listening to this on Friday, there's still time to send us in your feedback. Number of ways to do that. Rob has a website.com/voicemail 323-282-RHAP. And then of course, Survivor at Rob has a website. Patreon.com for all of that. I'll also be getting ready for our patron Facebook Friday call this week. Of course, that I'd like to check in every week with the patrons of Rob is a Podcast for that call-in show. If you want to find out more about that and all the other incentives that we have for the fine people that support Rob is a Podcast, go check out robhasawebsite.com/patron. And if you're still listening here at the end of the show, maybe we're talking to you. Okay. Go ahead, check it out. robhasawebsite.com/patron. I greatly appreciate all the support we get from the wonderful listeners of this very, very dumb podcast. All right. Thank you guys so much. Appreciate you guys checking out this conversation with Kim. And we'll be back with feedback with Mike Bloom coming up over the weekend.